Our reading for tonight is from Luke chapter 1. Now, the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. And he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This year's calendar is the shortest Advent season you can ever get. The fourth Sunday in Advent coinciding with Christmas Eve. That means you only have three midweeks, and we decided to turn one of them into a caroling party. So I picked our Advent meditations on the songs from Luke 1. Mary's song and Zechariah's song. And we're kind of taking them out of order, but I think it makes more sense overall. Advent gives us two Sundays of John the Baptist before then turning to Mary on Advent 4. So I went with Zechariah's song, the Baptist's dad's song. And the story of John the Baptist's birth isn't in our lectionary anywhere. So we don't often hear it in church. It used to be a Sunday school staple, but I'm not so sure about that anymore. But it's a very Old Testament-y story. An old couple, like Abraham and Sarah, but this time Zechariah and Elizabeth. They're too old to have kids. Zechariah was a priest in the Aaronic priesthood of the temple. And it was his turn to offer the incense which represented the prayers of the people. But when he went in to offer that incense and those prayers, an angel appears to him and tells him that his prayers have been answered. He will have a son and name him John. The angel also tells Zechariah a bunch of other things about John. But I don't think Zechariah ever really gets over that first announcement. I can imagine one response simply being, "Wonderful. So it takes 40 years to get an answer to such a prayer. What took you so long?" And some of that sarcasm, I think, had to be there because of the angel's response. But Zechariah's real response was simply, "How shall I know this?" which is something of a contrast with Abraham. I had to go back and reread it, but Abraham never really doubts that God will give him an heir, that he will fulfill his promise. Abraham is just always prodding God and offering him other ways to do it. Hey, God, right now Eliezer is my heir. Hey, God, have you considered Lot? Not Lot? Okay. Have you considered Ishmael? Abraham believed God. It was credited to him as righteousness. But he thought he might help God along. Zechariah, standing there before the altar with the angel telling him that his prayers have been answered, doesn't believe it. He asks for a sign, as if the angel Gabriel standing before him isn't enough. And so Gabriel gives him a sign. You won't be able to speak for 9 months or so. He didn't believe the promise, so he was unable to speak about it. There's something about the power of the Word of God there. It's first of all about faith. Without faith in the promises of God, what can we speak about? And when the Word of God is spoken, it accomplishes what it set out to do. Because the very first words from Zechariah after the Baptist's birth are, "His name is John," fulfilling the angel's words. The rest of the angel's words are filled in the song that immediately follows. Gabriel would tell him that he would have joy and gladness. Zechariah's unbelief is turned to belief when he receives his sign. And out of his belief, he has the joy and gladness. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited his people. The promises of God are always kept. Maybe not in our times, but they are kept. And the Word of God accomplishes what it promises. And Zechariah's song spells out exactly what those promises are. He holds that the prophets from of old have told us. Whether we have been like Abraham and believed them, or more like Zechariah, and he didn't believe for a spell and skips around, but because what is happening, he then believes. When you see it happening, you see that the horn of salvation is raised up. And you see what is meant by that salvation. The first thing that is meant by that salvation is deliverance. Deliverance from our enemies. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. The Lord God of Israel has raised up the one who would defeat Satan. And the principalities and the powers of this dark world. He's raised up the one who ends that oppression. Those who have, from the garden until today, sought to destroy the people of God. God has given us a champion who has cast down that old dragon and all his host. Second, this champion brings to us mercy. To show mercy promise to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. That sin that lives in our members, forgiven. Why? Because God promised. And God keeps his promises. He made a covenant with Abraham who believed it. And all who, like Abraham, believe shall find that mercy of God in that cross. Now, we might ask, why would God do such a thing? What is man that he would deliver him? Why would he show mercy? Zechariah's song gives us two answers. First is simply because God promised it. It isn't about us, but it's about who God is. He promised Abraham on that faith, and God keeps his promises. Second, that we might serve him in righteousness and holiness all of our days. Most of our lives, we live somewhat in fear of something. There's always some power or principality, be that power itself or money or status or fame or pain or suffering or death. There's always something that tries to rule us by fear. And in that fear is when we sin. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. Through fear of death, we were subject to lifelong slavery. Christ, in his deliverance and mercy, has given us his righteousness. And with the righteousness of Christ, he has given us eternal life. We no longer need to fear all of those powers, not even death, because they've been defeated. Their time is short. Yours is long. Zechariah knew this because he had received the sign. How do we know it? God has given us a light. The Baptist is one of those lights. The light himself, of course, is Christ. That's the light which comes into the world and is still there today, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light given to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of peace. The light of the resurrection. The light of the Holy Spirit poured out. The light of the Word proclaimed that gives us knowledge of salvation and the forgiveness of sins. The light of all the Baptists in our life that have gone before us to prepare the way of the Lord. All of those lower lights reflect the greater light of Christ. Zechariah's song, his first words after a long silence, are a great shout of joy and gladness. And they're his invitation for us to share in that joy and gladness. For the Lord, the God of Israel, has visited and redeemed us, his people. Amen.